This is Tehran, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The 13th presidential election in Iran will be held on Friday, 18th of June. Canvassing will end on Wednesday night, 16th of June. The third and final televised debate is about to start between the seven presidential contenders. We're getting ready to broadcast that live to you here on IRB English Radio. In just a few minutes from now, well, that will start very shortly. Iran is holding its 13th presidential elections on Friday, 18th of June. Out of the seven contenders, five are associated with the principalist camp and two are associated with the reformist camp. Okay, that third and final presidential debate is about to start now. The theme of the debate is people's concerns. Let's now listen to the debate.
And the debate is just about getting get to a start. You're listening to the national anthem of the Islamic Republic of Iran as the debate is about to kick off. As you heard earlier, this is the debate for the 13th presidential election. Now, that election is going to be held on June the 18th, the Friday coming up, June the 18th. And you're talking about a situation where 59 million Iranians are estimated to be eligible to vote this time around. And there you can see the seven candidates. And we have seen some interesting debates, the first two. And this time around, I think it should also be very interesting. And now it's starting with the recitation of the Holy Quran, of course, which is the custom here in the Islamic Republic of Iran before any important meeting to start off with the recitation of the Holy Quran. As I was saying, of course, there are seven candidates for this presidential election, and lots of enthusiasm waiting to see what happened on Friday. Of course, this is the third and final debate. Now we have to see, there's supposed to be, what we have heard is that they're changing the format of the debate this time around, because there were complaints from the second debate as the various candidates had different questions to answer. Both the candidates complained and also people themselves. So what we have been hearing is that the format is going to be changed, and allegedly one question is going to be asked of all seven candidates. So I'm not sure totally about that, but we're going to see soon enough exactly what is going to be taking place. Lots of anticipation for this last debate to see, especially for those who are still not sure of who they're voting for. This is their final chance to see all of them together. And as I said, especially if they're going to be answering the same questions and giving their perspective, it perhaps makes it easier for everyone to compare and try to make their final choice. Again, the 13th presidential election is coming up on this Friday, June the 18th. At this time around, over 72,000 polling stations are going to be held. Also, we have mobile polling stations this time around. More polling stations than usual because of the pandemic and not wanting people to be overcrowded anywhere, so we can keep that social distancing. So we'll keep an eye on that. Also, again, June 18th is this coming Friday, and the 13th presidential election of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and one of the seven men you've just been looking at, of course, will be the next president of the Islamic Republic. And the Quran recitation is continuing. Again, it'll be interesting this time around to see if the format is going to be somewhat different. The first time around, we saw a lot of criticism of one another. And the second time around, as I said earlier, answering different questions. Each candidate answered a different question. And perhaps this time, after complaints from the candidates and also from a lot of the people, we may be looking at a different format, a format basically that each candidate will answer the same question. So the question will be posed, and all seven candidates have to give their answer to that particular question. And this time around, we're looking at the main topic, the people of concern. What are the people mostly concerned about? So this is what it's going to be focused on right now. We have seen earlier, in the earlier debates, the economy, the economic aspect of the situation was looked at, also cultural issues. And now it's, what do the people want? What are their concerns? And so we're going to see the type of questions and the issues that are the most important for the electorate this time around. As I said, we dealt with a range of subjects from the economy to culture. Now let's listen up.
Greetings to you, all viewers who are following us through different TV and radio channels or social media networks, television, the hearing impaired, the health channel, the IRIB's World Service channels, as well as other international channels. All of them who are following this debate, I'd like to say greetings to them all and thank you very much. Thank you all for being with us today in this debate. Once again, I'd like to bid you all welcome here, to greet all candidates here for coming here as based on the SOP of this program. We have chosen the candidates randomly by lot, and I will introduce them randomly. Candidate number one, Mr. Saif Jalili. Candidate number two, Mr. Ali Reza Zakani. Candidate number three, Mr. Abdul Nasser Himmati. Candidate number four, Mr. Sayyid Ibrahim Raisi. Candidate number five, Mr. Mohsen Mehralizadeh. Candidate number six, Mr. Sayyid Amir Hussein Qazizadeh Hashemi. And candidate number seven, Mr. Mohsen Rezai Mirqaed. I'm actually asking the respective candidates to respect the rules of the Presidential Election Campaign Monitoring Commission, and I'm obliged to abide by the rules and regulations, and I'm telling all viewers that by observing all health protocols, we are authorized not to wear masks in this program. Let me inform you, as well as the respective candidates here, that this debate, like the previous ones, is held in two halves. The first half is has two parts, and the second half will have three parts, and I will explain about each part at the beginning of that part. So stay with us. Well, as our dear viewers know, and also our candidates know, this debate is the most important program in order to compare the programs of the candidates and to choose health voters for their final choice when they go to the polls. Maybe one of the most important functions of this debate is to simultaneously compare the approaches, priorities, programs, and concerns of the respected contenders after they establish their administration. Accordingly, the first debate was allocated to economic issues, the second debate revolved around political, social, and cultural issues, and the third debate is focuses on people's concerns. In this program, one common question is asked, because the question is put to all seven candidates, and that question is related to people's concerns that whichever candidate chooses a government and becomes president, what priorities they will have, what approaches they will have, and what concerns they will try to address. Actually, I'm asking you, dear candidates, to, in 7 minutes, give us a general picture of the possible or probable administration that you are going to form. Each one of you has 7 minutes to delineate a picture of your possible future administration, and the viewers also will have enough time to compare your programs and priorities to see which of the candidates can be the best choice for themselves and for the future of their country. In order to help you, dear candidates, based on the opinion polls conducted with the help of the research center of the IRIB and by consulting think tanks, different think tanks, we are going to mention some of these concerns, which are the most common concerns. Naturally, these do not include all the concerns of people. These are some parts of the concerns, and you can talk about these concerns or any other concerns that you have in mind. I will mention these seven concerns based on the priorities that have been mentioned in opinion polls. First, the high inflation rate. Second, justice and narrowing the social class gap. Three, economic stagnation and business stagnation. Transparency, tackling economic corruption and rent seeking. Actually, regularizing cash subsidies. Six, unemployment. And seventh, housing provision. As I said, these are not all of the concerns of people. These are the most important ones, seven important ones. In the next parts of the debate, we will talk about other concerns. So I'm asking the dear candidates to actually give us a general picture of what their programs are in order to address these concerns. Let's choose the first candidate by lot to see which candidate is going to talk first. Candidate number six, Mr. Amir Hossein Ghazizadeh Hashemi. Yes, the floor is yours.
In the name of God, compassionate, merciful, let me extend the greetings to our master, the eight chairman members of peace be upon him. The permission of Mom Mahdi. I would also like to congratulate the Day of the Girls. Now, the concerns and issues that you made a mention of are actually truly the concerns of the people, but we need to take a look at the root causes and see what ways we have to tackle them. Well, I already showed you a number of pictures here. This is how resources are distributed in this country, and this is how the income is distributed across the nation. There is lack of overall balance, you can see, across the nation. This is how unemployment is distributed. And these are the trends that happened there since 1345, 55 years ago, based on the indices and statistical numbers that we have. And they're repeated. The situation of the rise in unemployment rate across the country, and also the situation in unemployment in different areas. In the production sector, it's on the decline. The services sector, especially the civil servants, says that we have more and more increase. Unemployment rate among the provinces also, you can see them here, how they're distributed. So these all indicate a lack of balance in the education sector and housing. There is this imbalance, as you can see. Now, we have more housing units constructed, but it's still, this is confined to a number of provinces. It does cause some kind of overall, let's say, exodus or emigration, and the demographics changing in the country. And this exodus, as has happened, has also caused some social harms, like divorce, that has been on the rise, because the social identity is harmed, social capital is dented, and the reasons are clear. And it's because the resources of the country are being unfairly distributed. We have banks, budgets, different kinds of revenues and incomes. They're not properly distributed. Unfortunately, the infrastructure is moving in this direction. So who do people blame this for? They look at this on the, this is the part about mismanagement and inefficiency on the part of the officials. That's how people look at it. They see that we are having this, facing this golden window of opportunity, but instead of growing, just like developing countries that are seriously growing and making growth, but we are facing a cul-de-sac. And the record of all governments have been clear, and all governments have some points of strength and points of weakness, but the main issues have been remained unsettled. These are the number of issues that were mentioned in the previous presidential debates, and we're still talking about them. I mean, we have even moved backward, like issues of freedom that were mentioned at that time. Now we are talking about people's livelihoods, for instance. So because of this social capital decline, people blame this for the way of management. This has caused distress in the governments. In the COVID pandemic, you saw how people are troubled. I know a family, the household, the head of the family is dead, or maybe the parent, one of the parents are dead, and the people are suffering from a kind of mismanagement on the part of officials, but people are blamed for this. For a year, people have not been able to make a living properly, and they are getting daily wages, they don't have fixed salary, and we ask them not to work. They have to work. They have to win some bread to put on the table. And then you see that we're criticized for doing this. So addressing the relevant officials, especially Mr. Rouhani, I'm addressing them because he has criticized our debates. In this group, nobody is ready and willing to shoulder responsibility for the performance of the government. I'm ready. You leave your office, come to IRIB organization, written television organization, regarding the COVID pandemic and all issues, I'm ready to sit down for a debate with you. Now, regarding the high price of gasoline, we don't know who's responsible, finally. We have some headquarters that we have in place, and we're all hiding behind them. And the leader of the Islamic Revolution has to pitch in. And because the relevant authorities are never ready, nobody regretted this. Nobody was ready to apologize or make a resignation. So our issue in with the running of the affairs by the government is the issue of high prices, housing, and different issues. We know that. We have prepared our plans to tackle those issues. But the main issue is the bureaucracy and the red tape in the country. For 70, 80 years, there has been no change in this. And it has, day after day, people have become weaker and weaker. And a very limited group of people who are attached to the government officials, and somehow they're becoming wealthier and wealthier. So what should we do? We need to have some change in the mechanisms of running and governing the country. The people's, the managers and authorities' mindset should change. The mindset of the people should change. We have Article 56 of the Constitution that says the manner of governance is the, it's actually the people who should govern their own affairs. We're just pushing people out of this stage. Mr. Soleimani said that anytime people were on this stage, there were success. Anytime we let the people out of this stage, we just face failure. So we have anticipated that the government should be assigned to the people, to power should be delegated to the people. So this is a government of the people that we have named it. There are executive orders based on Article 127 of the Constitution to the governors. We have the budgets, everything is declared to the counties, to the governor's offices, and the people themselves should be able to appoint managers and fire them. If a certain percentage of people are dissatisfied with an official's performance, he should be fired. And we'll have this, the pyramid system that has taken all the powers from the people and assigned this to central government. We will distribute it among the nations so that the powers are given to all the nations. All counties, in our opinions, are the same as a capital city. So this is the national mission that we will assign. And the person is in charge of developing for the entire country. In this way, this 70-year system that has been moving.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let's choose the next candidate by lot. Candidate number 7, Mr. Rezaei, you have 7 minutes to give us a general picture of the programs of your future administration.
In the name of God, I wish to congratulate you on the birth anniversary of Hazrat Masuma, peace upon her, and the Girls' Day. And the 7 concerns that were mentioned that's been prepared by Arabia, I do agree with that, but people's concerns go beyond this list, and that creates an intertwined system and collection. So we should see why these concerns have not been addressed so far. We have been having high prices for 50 years, and we have been experiencing unemployment for 50 years, and we have seen devaluation of money for the past 50 years, and the country's economic growth has been going through fluctuations and has been going downward. How come these problems have not been resolved yet? So after 300 years, we have gained our strength, and in certain defensive and security sectors, we have made considerable progress. When people see these two aspects and compare them, they realize that there is something problematic. The leader stated that the solutions are clear, and we don't know how come they are not realized. I want to unveil this issue, that how come we have failed to realize this goal. You see that the Islamic dress code or chador is in the hands of certain individuals. You see the members of mafia, and you see the children of officials. So what are the managers doing? They are active somewhere else. Now, speaking of the political disputes amongst factions, they are all involved in that dispute, and suddenly there's talk of hijab, the Islamic dress code, and some talk of filtering. Why is Iran in Syria? Missile, construction of walls, concerts, and once in a while there are new themes coming up, and some agree, some disagree, and there is an ongoing quarrel and dispute, and the imam of the society, the leader, puts an end to such disputes, and after a while there is another dispute taking shape. So such political disputes and quarrels and these deviated approaches do not allow the energy of the people and the governments to focus on the issue of justice and also the problem of high prices, inflation, and so on. So is the next president going to be similar to the previous ones? So is the story of the previous governments going to be repeated? So one should put an end to this. There is the need for 2 major surgeries in the country. The first surgery is reform from within the power. That includes the governance, the management, the structures, the regulations. There's a need for a basic surgery to be done within the power itself. And the second point is the modern economic architecture. So you can offer proposals for high prices, inflation, and so on. So this is a hot land, and when there is a snowfall, the snow will evaporate and go into the air. And this will nullify all the activities that have been carried out. So my government's plan is to firstly have all the people from different ethnicities, also principalists, reformists, and also the women, and all the capacities, the Sunnis, minorities, and so on, to have a move similar to the revolution, a move similar to Basij force during the years of sacred defense. So we should all come together and create this responsible government. And this government should do some reforms from within the power structure, and then the organs that are affiliated to the leadership and work for the government itself, and the relationship between the three branches. And in the course of disputes, they forget people's problems. They go after other issues. The bureaucracy, the ministries, we do have plans from top to the bottom. We will reform them. And regarding the economy, I have plans of three stages, economy of life, the economy of provinces, and the national economy, the economy of life. That is sufficiency for livelihood. There is 450,000 cash handouts. I am asked, where am I going to obtain the money? There have been the embezzlements. So we will, I will obtain that handouts, cash handouts, and we can give salaries to women. And also, we're going to have household businesses in all provinces. We have done planning. I was not allowed to bring all the documents related to provinces. This is West Azerbaijan, Bushehr, Khuzestan, Isfahan provinces. For each province, I've done a planning. And at the national economy, 14 mega projects have been defined, including housing, new modern energies. We have done the planning so that at the level of national economy, the provincial economy, and the economy of life, we can restructure the country's economy. So these problems have been going on for the past 50 years, devaluation of national currency and so on. We will be able to resolve the problem, the comprehensive package.
Your time's up. Thanks a lot. Let's choose the next candidate randomly. Candidate number four, Mr. Raisi. Mr. Raisi, you have 7 minutes to give us a general picture of the programs of your future administration.
Let me congratulate the birth anniversary of Azaf Fatima. Peace be upon her. Congratulations to all girls in Iran. Hopefully, we'll all be bestowed upon by blessings of Azaf Nasma, peace be upon her. Also, we have the 10 day of donations that we congratulate. Now, the concerns and issues that you mentioned. These are parts of people's preoccupations and concerns. They have many more concerns. We have had expert meetings. We have had numerous meetings with the people during my time and tenure at the judiciary. Also before that, when Aslan Kutz and Mashat, I was in close contact with the people, and I know what people's concerns are and problems are. So because of this contact with the people, I have found some solutions to the major concerns that people have. Hopefully, receive people's vote, I have my own solutions. If we look at the economic agenda in three areas, of course, we have some macro issues that later on I'll make a mention of if we have time. Now I want to make a reference to the three major topics. One of them is the reform in the government and the fight against corruption, inefficiency, and discrimination. That's the first part. The second part is the issue of supporting families and less privileged strata of society. And the third part, a Jaipur surge in production and boosting businesses. Now, as for the first part, a number of the concerns that you mentioned, we have also touched upon them. I think one of the issues that people are talking about these days is the issue of corruption. In the judiciary, we have dealt with the corrupt people, but corruption has to be dealt with by the executive branch. Definitely the people who are corrupt or people who they shouldn't have any room in the government, people who are rent-seeking. We need to have this comprehensive mechanism of economic information. All the economic data should be monitored within that mechanism. Another plan that we have on the agenda regarding the government is a transparency mechanism. All the contracts, performance of the corporations and government executives, they should be there in a certain system, and people should be able to see that. We did this in the Aslan Woods Foundation. 36 business companies' performance were out there publicized for people to see what they're doing and what they're into. So transparency is an issue that wins us further popular trust. So when I started my job at the judiciary, one of the issues that people and MP said that there was a special account at the disposal of the head of the judiciary. So that we should say where the money comes from, where how it is spent, and we gave people reports about this. And all the controversy regarding this came to an end. So transparency does matter. If transparency is there, you should be rest assured that all the regulations and all the laws will be implemented as a land grab and lots of other corruption and tax evasion. They'll all be, they will be harnessed and controlled. We need a banking system to go and overhaul. Some governments have talked about this, but today banks are one of the obstacles to production, unfortunately, and this needs to be tackled. I mean, the bank induced could not be stopped, and when we do the follow-up, lots of the bank induced we have followed them, but we need to have this reform and rectification in the banking sector. The third reforms is regarding the tax system. We need to have this corruption generating mechanism should be tackled by having this a smart mechanism. This is really part of our agenda. And taxation should also be on true basis. From 25% production units should pay 10%, of course, in a gradual way. Administrative bureaucracy, corruption is not acceptable. Well, but some of them are not acting in conformity with Islamic established aspirations. So the grounds for corruption should all be identified and tackled. I respect all the civil servants, but their administrative system needs an overhaul. We need certain deregulation, some permits and licenses that simply confine and restrict the activities of the producers. They all need to be removed. And then some supervisions should happen after projects, not before. Production faces problems, licenses are needed, but to a certain extent. So these are the three developments that need to definitely happen in the government. And then we have support for households and families. The first point is the high prices and inflation. You see the status quo, we have 320% in the past 8 years regarding inflation. The inflation rate is not acceptable at that rate. The price of meat 5 times as much, cars 8 times as much, homes 7 times as much as what they used to be. This is intolerable. I mean, so we need our measures to go in such a direction so that the inflation would come to 0.5% and then that should move toward a single digit numbers. It isn't feasible, but there are certain measures to be taken. One of them being managing the foreign exchange market and boosting the national currency. This should be managed. The second point is that independence from basic commodities. I mean, there's some kind of self-sufficiency for people and the bread that they should win. This is possible, and the grounds are also there for the people. And people are aware, people that we have farmers, they are aware of what's going on. And also we need to have further supervision oversight over the market. Now, I'm not talking about intervention in the market, but we need further oversight. And then we should provide the minimum livelihood for people, especially the less privileged area. And also we should have this credit card for the three lowest deciles of the society. That should happen. Also, then we should have a boost in production, employment, and also boosting corporations. We have more than 5 million unemployed people and pseudo-unemployed people, those who have lost hope. Creating 4 million jobs in 4 years, this is something that's possible. It is feasible. We need to move in that direction. We need to make it less attractive,
yes.
People who go to non-productive areas. We need to draw them toward production. We should funnel them that way.
Thank
it
you
needs
very much.
Funding based on.
Thank you very much. Let's choose the next candidate. candidate number two, Mr. Zarqani. Mr. Zarqani, you have 7 minutes to give us a general picture of your next administration and tell us about your concerns.
In the name of God, greetings to the Iranian nation and congratulations on the birth anniversary of Hazrat Fatema Masumah, peace upon her, and I congratulate girls, particularly girls of the Defenders of Holy Shrines and the Education of Girls Day. Based on the 7 points you mentioned, I'm going to further elaborate on these. The high prices and inflation is a major concern, particularly with respect to foodstuffs and clothing. This issue has been intensified and has made the people miserable. The inflation rate was 39% in 1399, and this is a tragedy caused by Rouhani's government. And liquidity has reached 3,500 billions, and it has increased by sixfold. So Mr. Hemmati must be held accountable for this. And the government has run, actually run the affairs by taking money from people's pocket and by controlling the foreign currency and by reforming the budget structure. And there is 700,000 imbalances in the banking system. And in the first year, I will, in fact, cut the inflation rate by half. Now, with respect to social class gap, there is a competition between the plunderers and those who have been plundered. In the past 42 years, I've been the voice of those who have been plundered. This is a topic of corruption and injustice. So I try to just deal with the major figures, the intelligence minister 20 years ago, the former Tehran prosecutor, and the brother of the president. So I've tried to just deal with those who are bullying persons, and there is no other option to tackle corruption. I believe that corruption must be eradicated. So in my government, I promise that I will eradicate corruption. And I'm standing in the face of the corrupt individuals. I will uproot corruption. And the networks in the government, the judiciary, and the parliament who have taken shape in the past, I know those networks. And I hope to be able to uproot these networks with the help of the people. In the 70s, 80s, 90s, one case was 250,000 billion 2 months given to three brothers, and with the help of the people, I will take this money back and will give the money to the people. And the economic stagnation is due to the wrong approach by the government that relied on the outside, and in the case of leaping production, I will try to minimize regulations and seek to obtain the needs and also address taxation and insurance. These are impediments for production and also the exports. I will actually improve exports, and these are the 9 clusters that contribute to, that act as a driving force. So I focus on decentralization in provinces. I've written provincial reports about plans for provinces, and also decentralization covering 451 townships and the electronic government with the governance of data and transparency. These are other aspects that I will realize, and till the end of the first year of the government, I will put into practice the electronic government and rent in the there's going to be no rent in my government, and whatever exists is for the people. It's quite transparent. And improvement of overtime covered subsidies, it was, there is 600,000 billions of covered subsidies. So speaking of this hidden subsidies, it's this must be contained, and part of the society consume energy 15 times higher compared to the underprivileged, and I will also organize that hidden subsidy. And 79,000 billions will be used for costs, and in the government of action and reform, the people will receive 70,000 in the form of cash handouts, and one layer of the society will receive 250,000, and another layer will receive 200,000, 150,000, and this has been, these cash handouts have been actually envisaged by this year's budget. Regarding unemployment, the rate of unemployment, based on the, our arrangements, 6,700,000 job opportunities will be created based on a clear timetable, 500,000 for the first year. And regarding housing, 1 million housing units will be constructed. In addition to this, I will also construct 300,000 housing units every year. So 5.2 million housing units will be constructed.
Yes.
600,000 for new couples, 600,000 for the underprivileged
Thank
family.
Thank you very much. Let's choose the next candidate by lot. Candidate number one, Mr. Jalili, you have 7 minutes to give us a general picture of your administration's programs.
In the name of God, let me say hello to all the respected Iranian people. I also offer congratulations on the birth anniversary of Hazrat Masumi, peace be upon her, especially to our endeared girls in Iran. So let me make a point. I mean, the question you put to me was that as to what approach we will adopt regarding these concerns, because these are the issues that have been raised, and they are rightly raised. Now, the question that people have, I mean, when you raise such questions, maybe we have seven of these issues, maybe more. These are the seven big ones. So, but people's concerns are some other issues. I mean, people are asking why these issues are still there. I mean, nothing is done about it. I mean, the 7 points that you mentioned, well, our friends had their own answers. Definitely, I have my own responses. But the question is, the responses, neither the question nor the response. It's not just like a coronavirus. I mean, you cannot say that it is an unknown problem, or both the problem is unknown and the response. So the question is, we know this is all identified, but the problem remains in place. That's what people are preoccupied with. I mean, regarding inflation, the average in the world is 2.5%. More than 100 countries have reported less than 5%. That's what they have done in inflation. The question is why this hasn't been addressed in Iran. So, regarding housing, when you're talking about, they say that we have land, we have construction material, we have manpower. So, it's possible for us to construct buildings. So why do we still have housing issues? So people are concerned as to why the government is behind this schedule. We're talking about the post of president, a person and the president of Iran. I mean, the country with huge capacities and potentialities, it can be successful. It can see a big jump and progress. But the question is, this is the most basic question. The question is how to deal with most basic issues. So the people's concern, I think this is, so the problems are there, the issues are there. People are talking about this. I mean they're living with them. They feel it's palpable. So the question is why these solutions are not sustainable. I mean, the government says, I'll brought the inflation under control for a couple of years. It's not just rain to say, okay, let's see if we'll have rain next year or not. So the issue is, the question is, why should people be still concerned if the inflation rate will be harnessed next year or will not be harnessed? Will this be sustainable or not? So a year later, for instance, for a number of years, you have things under control. All of a sudden, they jump up again, and prices go up. So that's the question, and that's the concern side of people as to why they are dealing with the sideline issues. If the seven issues that you just mentioned, and they're truly correct, people are asking why some other issues are raised also as major issues, why some other issues also find some coefficient, and they also come into play, and they're also raised, again, at the high levels. So the question is, back to your question, as to what our government will have, what approach will it have. The approach of our government is that each of these questions have their own responses, and some of our friends mentioned some of them. But I want to say that if you want to solve these problems, it requires a serious plan. Persian rug, for instance, which is age old in our country, you want to weave this, you need to have its own plan. You need to have, for every knot and tie, you need to know exactly what color, at what point, what kind of fabric is going to be woven into what. Without a plan, you can never do anything. You need a comprehensive plan. So this is the job of the president, exactly. It's different from the job of a minister. The president should know, he should have mastery over this plan and the role that each ministry will have to play to bring inflation under control, so that housing problem is dealt with, so that the health sector is dealt with properly. So when we're talking about president, then this person needs to know exactly what the plan is about. Overnight, they cannot write a plan. By recommending, ordering a think tank, you cannot have a plan. You need to be well aware. You should have mastery over all things. So at the bottlenecks, where there are some subtle points and some subtleties, things should come to a halt at times. They need to make a decision so that things do not come to a halt. So this is what matters about the president's role. The day when the person takes charge as president, how effectively will he manage his time? Some people are concerned. Four years passed, 8 years passed, nothing happened, not much happened. Then somebody apologizes if they're fair. If not, they just feel others should apologize to him. They will say that we have done a great job. So we need to have these things clear and transparent. That's what people are concerned about. What the president is doing, how much he has achieved. Okay, let's vote. Fine. But the course that is going to be threaded after 4 years, 6 years, which point am I going to reach? Is it a minimal point? Is it a maximal one? So the president is the head of the president of the Islamic Republic of Iran with all its potentialities. I want to say, well, I've solved this issue or that issue. After 4 years, they say, okay, we have solved these issues. This is really minimal. Maybe you don't know Iran well, or you're not aware with the country's capacities, or maybe you don't know much about our possibilities. We need to go way beyond this. So this is when people are talking about their concerns that they should do away with standing on ceremony and having their own reservations. Are we going to have theatrical shows again, or will we do real job and roll up our sleeves and do work? Are they going to follow up people's concerns, or let's see what will be palpable to us? We got to look at the people's interests when we're talking about people's concerns. That means people want to see in the next future. They want to know what's going to happen in the next 4 years at least. They want to be rest assured that things are pushed forward, followed up. They're away from theatrical shows and on the basis
of... Thank you very much. Let's choose the next candidate. Candidate number three, Mr. Hemmati, you have 7 minutes to give us an overall picture of your administration's programs. In
the name of God, greetings to all the people, dear nation of Iran, and I wish you happiness. In connection with the topic that you raised today, without restoring economic growth, the rate of 5%, one cannot resolve unemployment, one cannot bring about welfare to the country. In the past one decade, the average economic growth has been 0.5%. In the past one decade, it can be said that there has been a downward trend with respect to investments. Economy has its own concepts and equations. Economy, the science of economy tells us there should be a secure environment for investment, and in this way one can attain economic growth, and this economic growth can be justly distributed amongst the people. To say that there is no high prices, Mr. Raisi is saying there are high prices. Inflation is the cause of high prices. When there's 2, 3 to 5% inflation in the world, there's no high prices. Is there any act for combating high prices in Europe? Why did the price of foreign currency go up? Why did the price of housing units go up? We should be clear. Sanctions in the past one decade has disrupted our economic equations with the world. Why has this happened? Tell me a country in the world that without global exchanges, they have been able to make growth. Mr. Jalili is saying that if there are seven concerns, why should we talk about other issues? Other issues are of great importance. Sanctions is of great importance. Of course, I have formulated plans for these seven topics, and I do have plans for employment for the youths and the youths' housing, for controlling the inflation and just returning the inflation rate to a range of 8 to 12%. I'm going to mention a couple of points. Why aren't we talking about other root causes? This current is after making us live without the world, to live without the world. What does it mean? You don't know how to live without the world. And if you know, the outcome will be to turn that 8% growth to zero or minus. So the people have to sustain these costs, and we cannot send a vessel with Iran's flag into the sea, and the soccer teams cannot get their money from AFC, and we are paying costs every year. We are having additional costs of $16 billion. Why shouldn't we talk about other issues? Mr. Raisi, you are the leading figure standing in front of me. What will happen if the hardliners just have power? I tell you that there's going to be more sanctions with global consensus. JCPOA was a solution offered by Mr. Zarif with the guidance of the leader. Why didn't it bring about any benefits in the absence of sanctions? The dealers of sanctions would have sustained losses, 350,000 billions. That's six times the salary of teachers and nurses. Why did inflation just take shape? That's been to the government's budget deficit, because every year, $40 to $50 billion of the country's revenue has been reduced due to the sanctions. So these are the points that must be taken into consideration. So these traders of sanctions, they did not allow foreign investments, and a wise government with the support of the leader can lift the sanctions very soon. after lifting of sanctions, do you want the country to just fail to benefit from the lifting of sanctions? I think you do not want any capital to enter the country, and we have not been able to absorb any capital, and you do not want to, don't you want to create jobs for the youths? The people want job opportunities, but those who are in your campaign headquarters working around the clock, they are sitting there and they oppose the JCPOA and they oppose the approval of FATF. There are five candidates, Mr. Raisi, Mr. Jalili, Mr. Zakhani, Mr. Rezaei, and Mr. Ghazizadeh Hashemi. These were the ones who impeded the approval of FATF. Why do we have to have relationship with foreigners? Why should our banking system have relationship with foreigners? The stock of high when the rate of foreign exchange goes up, there's going to be high prices. I've studied the economy. I've had economic responsibilities in the past 3 decades. I've traveled to different parts of the world. I have plans. And even for neighboring countries that the dear Hajj Qasem managed to maintain security in those countries, establish security there. In my foreign policy, Saudi Arabia is not an enemy, UAE is not an enemy, and the domestic auto manufacturer can make progress, but it should compete with foreign automakers. And so you see that every day, several people lose their lives due to special medicine. Mr. Raisi, you who have opposed FATF, you have played in the court of Trump. I want you to pay attention to this point,
yes.
The interaction with the world and defending national interests is a main principle for
Thank
economic progress.
Thank you very much. The last respected candidate who is going to speak, candidate number 5, Mr. Mehralizadeh. Yes, please tell us about the programs of your administration.
In the name of God, I would also like to offer congratulations on the birth anniversary of Hazrat Masumah, peace be upon her, Girls' Day in Iraq, and also the week of donations. The victories of the soccer team and volleyball team of our country. I would also like to offer felicitations to our athletes, to people in charge of our sports, some of the people, spectators.